Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, oh, the apps, they are a-changin'. And we're going to highlight a few.
Plus, any list for your iPad. I'm told that's how it's pronounced. An iPad keyboard for the classroom. And Shazam is becoming self-aware.
Oh, crap. All then, and open your mailbox, will you? On iPad Today.
Never.
Better.
Never.
Do it.
Mm-mm. iPad Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Buy a Slingbox and turn your mobile device into a television. With Slingbox, you can watch high-def TV on your smartphone, laptop, or tablet anywhere there's an internet connection. Learn more at slingbox.com/twit. And by GoToMyPC. GoToMyPC from Citrix connects you directly to your Office Mac or PC from any other computer or your iPad or iPhone. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today at GoToMyPC.com and use the promo code iPad. Yes! Welcome to iPlaid Today, Sarah Lane and Leo Laporte.
We did not call each other this morning. Actually, who calls each other anymore? We did not text or... We did not Facebook Messenger.
Hangout.
We did not WhatsApp.
Not WhatsApp.
I did not send you a path sticker about this.
But I did see a picture of you in the paper, and I thought, I want to look like that.
Wait a second. What does that mean?
No, I didn't.
Because that would have been...
But it is, you know, I think we are down-to-earth type of people.
Yeah. We like chopping wood.
We're lumberjacks at night, and by day we do this. So I think it's appropriate.
It also looks like I'm not wearing a shirt in that wide shot, but I am.
Wait a minute. Let's see it again. Well, oh, look at
it
that.
It kind of looks like, hey,
that's
what's
hot.
Going on? Whew. Everything's fine.
She is wearing a shirt, ladies and gentlemen.
Everything's just fine.
Although the ratings would improve if you would consider not wearing a shirt.
iPad shirtless today.
No. Just half shirtless because the ratings would go way down if I took off my shirt.
Oh,
so
I see.
We got to balance it. Some of us are better looking than others.
But everyone likes a train wreck, you know?
And this is it. You came to the right place. This is the show where we talk about the iPad and iPad apps. And we've got an interesting topic. Actually,
yeah. Sometimes we'll do a roundup of apps off the top of the show that are just kind of new and interesting. Like, well, maybe they don't all fall into a theme, but they're all interesting, and so that's sort of the theme. Today, we're talking about apps that are changing because the company might be moving in a different direction.
Right.
Maybe companies are merging, or maybe there's something going down with the legality of the app.
I'll give you a perfect example. Foursquare. Which for so long was really about checking into places and who could be the mayor.
Right.
And it was a game, right, that you played. And we all played it. I mean, we were very much into Foursquare and who was the mayor of this place or that.
Of course.
And then they realized, well, now we've collected enough data about places in the world and lots of tips. So we're really going to be more of a recommendation app. It wasn't quite a pivot, but they changed the focus of the application. And so the design of it changed a little bit to emphasize, hey, here's the tips for the places you're at. You want to find a pizza place, we can recommend it, things like that. And that, I think, probably means there's more money to be made than that.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned Foursquare because I hadn't even put it in this list, but we might as well talk about it because Foursquare recently added something called super specific search.
Super specific.
True story.
Wow.
Try S. But what's interesting about Foursquare, and you know, it should be mentioned that Foursquare is still not a native iPad app, but it works.
This is iPhone only.
Yeah, it's an iPhone app, but it works fine here. The idea behind Foursquare, and they say, listen, we have more data than all those competitors of ours.
Yelp and Google Places and all of that.
Sure, and Facebook's gotten into this, and it's a very hot market, right? I should be able to say, you know, in natural language, first of all. If I wanted to look for something like, okay, well, I don't just want food. I want like a really specific kind of food that maybe Leo had told me about in the past.
Yeah.
Now I've got a filter where it's like, I can show just places I've never been before.
Wow, I haven't seen this.
My friends have checked in or offering specials or open now or that I've saved or just are really cheap.
Do it by price.
Or maybe I have to, you know, I want to impress somebody and go really expensive or...
This is an interesting, it's not place. A pivot, it's a change in focus, because they realize we have more data now thanks to the game that everybody was playing on Foursquare. So let's take advantage of what we know, and people have been putting tips on Foursquare for a while.
So if I write pizza place my friend Leo has been to, and I go ahead
that
and
is super specific.
That is very, very specific.
My friend Joe?
That doesn't work.
So I guess what you found was places with St. Leo the Great. I'd like to go there.
Well, it's 10
places
miles.
With Leo or my friend in it. So that didn't quite
work. It didn't quite work as well as I thought it would. The idea is, and, you know, and maybe I actually haven't gotten the update yet because this is like
right.
you know, 12 hours old, this news. But I looked for the update before the show. But the idea is that Foursquare says people have been checking in for so many years because back in the day, 2008, I guess, is when 2009, when they launched, everybody was checking in because y'all wanted to be the mayor.
I know.
There was competition. So it's like, but that data still exists.
Right.
So even though it's fallen off, Foursquare's like, let's kick the others where it hurts because we've just been doing it longer.
There are famous pivots that are huge successes. Flickr is a very good example where mm-hmm. Flickr was originally going to be a multiplayer online game that turned into a photo sharing site. In fact, it's going to be one of our apps today. But they're most often pivots are a sign that it's not going well. I think of companies like Gowalla, which was a competitor to Foursquare, which eventually went out of business. Foursquare's pivot, I think, is mostly an indicator that they're losing out to the really big guys, to the Facebooks and the Googles of the world, and they need to find something else to do with check-ins to keep their business alive. Foursquare is a huge success story.
It is.
But at the same time, I think that times ahead, they see rocky roads ahead, and I think they're right.
Well, you know, okay, so you mentioned Flickr. Flickr, also still an iPhone app, which drives me batty.
They got to do an iPad app, and I bet you anything they're planning on it.
First of all, it is quite nice on the iPad. I'm not going to lie. I go to my little profile here. I've got my sets, groups that I'm a part of, photos that I've favorited, photos of myself, and who my contacts are. I've uploaded, you know, almost 12,000 photos. Back in the day, I was extremely active here. Now I pretty much just cross-post Instagram pictures.
Did they at least update the iPhone app? Is this it looks the same.
Well,
they updated the Android app.
Well,
to match their new redesign that they did earlier this week, so the web looks completely different.
Yes, the web Flickr experience looks more actually like this iPhone app than mm-hmm. it did before. You've got the nice grid, you've got mm-hmm. kind of that square thing. Everything looks the same now these days when it comes to photos, and you can certainly run the iPhone app just fine on the iPad. But with the whole Flickr is owned by Yahoo. Yahoo is on a rampage right now as far as reinventing itself as cool.
This is, forgive me for showing this, but this is the Android version.
That's all right.
And this doesn't, you see, this looks more like the new Flickr
sure.
with bigger and litter and a little and kind of a more picture focused. So I presume they're going to do that with the iPhone and iPad.
But the fact that there isn't an iPad app.
That's kind of frustrating.
How do they even go through some big redesign? I mean,
they will.
They had like a press conference about the new Flickr.
You know, I see this all the time, and it baffles me.
It's a photo app. What the heck?
It should really. And, you know, I look at 500px, which is probably their most direct competitor. That's a photo sharing app that's mm-hmm. not huge, but used by a lot of pros. And they have a beautiful iPad app. It's just gorgeous.
Because that's what it's meant for.
Yeah, right? It looks really, really good. And I hate to say it, but there's a lot of companies that don't have iPad apps. Is there a Google Plus iPad app? I don't think so, is it?
No, there is.
Is it iPad specific? Oh, it is now.
Yeah.
Okay. And Google Plus is a really great photo app, really great, beautiful photo sharing.
I mean, part of me feels like, and I know that
Flickr better hurry, that's all.
Yeah, Flickr better hurry, especially because the social experience is just, look at this. 85 people looked at a photo that I posted weeks ago.
Yeah.
85?
Well, do you post a lot?
At one point, it would have been 8,000.
Compare that
to there's just no one there.
Compare that to Google Plus, which isn't even photo specific like Flickr is. It's just beautiful. It's big. The images, when I think this is the future. Even Facebook looks better now, I think, than the Flickr app on the iPad. They've got to address that. However, having said that, I love the new web experience of Flickr, and I'm going to probably use it more.
Well, and
a terabyte storage?
Exactly. Everybody gets a terabyte of storage, so whether or not you like this Flickr app, you certainly have upload capabilities through the iPad.
You've got to think they're doing it.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, nobody told me specifically, but
no.
If they're not, they're dumb. Well, since we're talking about Yahoo and Flickr, we might as well talk about Tumblr next, because it was after our show last week. In fact, it was basically what? There were rumors that Flickr or Yahoo was going to buy Tumblr last week.
And it came true on Monday.
Friday afternoon, we heard that Yahoo was going to do an announcement.
And then Sunday, the board of directors voted.
Yes.
Early in the morning.
Right.
And that's when it became official.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I got to mention is that this doesn't close for 6 months. So Tumblr is not going to change right away. They haven't even, they're still independent.
Yes.
And it has regulatory approval and all sorts of stuff. So it's going to take a while, 6 months before this happens.
And Flickr has promised, why do I keep saying that? Yahoo, it's because Flickr's
Yahoo
my favorite Yahoo property. Yahoo owns Flickr, and
I think they'll be kind of
pending ownage of Tumblr.
Maybe one of the reasons there isn't an iPad app is because I expect Tumblr and Flickr to have some relationship.
So that's the question, right? And everyone keeps saying, isn't there something that can be done between Tumblr and Flickr? Because Tumblr is, in many ways, not for everybody, but extremely photo-centric experience.
So here's what I think. I think one of the problems that I think we might have mentioned this on one of the shows. One of the problems that Yahoo's going to have with Tumblr is that a lot of the content on Tumblr is just reblog. It's not original content. Many of the Tumblogs I read, and this was the idea behind a Tumblog in the first place, was cool stuff you found, reblog it. Like Pinterest. Mm-hmm. Just pin it. In order for this to really be a valuable property, they need people to put new content in. So what if you make Flickr the storage side of Tumblr? You encourage people to upload on Flickr, and then you make it simple to also make it part of your Tumblr. I think that's going to happen. The other thing is you got to remember,
almost like a Google Drive, Google Plus type of
it's a relationship,
right?
Yeah. And you got to remember, the kids today don't use Flickr, they use Tumblr. That's how they share photos. Mm. Tumblr even more, I think, now, or soon to be, for the younger set, even more than Facebook and any other photo sharing. This Tumblr has really become the place to share photos. I think that that's where the Flickr relationship might be.
I'm afraid because Tumblr's founder, David Karp, said for a long time that he wasn't interested in advertising, screwing up the experience.
Right.
Kind of had to bow to investor pressure eventually. So they do light advertising on certain pages of Tumblr, but
guess what?
But you know.
That's one thing that is going to change.
Yeah,
you're going to see a lot of ads here. And you're going to see ads on Flickr, too, by the way. That was one of the things
because they've
came
changed
away
their
with.
Tiered pricing.
Yeah, yeah.
What Tumblr did actually do, since we're talking about Tumblr, is the iPad app was
a nice app.
It's a very nice app. It only went live, December of 2012?
Yep. They had an iPhone
recent
app. They had an iPhone app for a long time.
Yeah, but no iPad app forever. And everyone was like, what are you doing back there? They have one now. It's quite nice. It's gotten a couple little updates. One is cosmetic. When you
I love that.
When you go to post, it's very path-esque,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I love
so
that.
You say like, oh, I want to say something, or I want to take a photo, or I want to quote, or I want to add a link, or I want to, what's the hi? Oh, that's a chat. So, you know, something funny that was said between Leo and I that I want to share with everybody. Or you've got a movie type of a thing. They also have something that, and can you please tell me what it means? Because this was in the liner notes, the developer liner notes, and nobody who wrote any articles about this seemed to know either. What's app attribution on posts mean? Because apparently that's a new feature.
If I post to Tumblr from Path, for instance, which I often do, it will now say via Path.
Oh, okay.
I just made that up.
No, I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out what that meant.
The reason I suspect myself on that, because I think it's always done that.
No, it's new. At least in the iPad app.
I'm just thinking, when I post something on Tumblr, I'm pretty sure it says from Path, but maybe not. If it didn't, it certainly should.
It certainly should.
That, by the way, is why...
Or maybe it has something that's cleaner, that's got like a nice link back to the app.
Yeah, if you go to my Tumblr, leo.tumblr.com, almost everything on there is via Path. Because I'd use Path to post on Foursquare, to post on Tumblr, to post on Twitter a lot of the times, and to post on Path. So I like that, and I think that most apps should do that. You should be – yeah, see, there's that picture was taken on Path. Now, doesn't it say via Path? Yeah, it does. See right there?
It's new in the app.
It's always said it on the Tumblr log, but that's where I'm confused. It's always said it on the web, but it hasn't said it in the app. Got it.
Well, that's helpful. All right.
I think it's fair, and sure. I know why they do it, because remember, Facebook gets very angry if you integrate with Facebook and you don't make it a two-way street. So the attribution will probably have a link back to the Facebook post, for instance, that kind of thing.
No, I haven't really found any, but...
Well, that'll be new.
I'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah.
So that's Tumblr. Please don't ruin Tumblr. Actually, Marissa Meyer said, I think I think I'm quoting her, we promise not to screw it up.
I believe she said, keep calm and carry on. Did you see that on her Tumble log? Marissa.tumblr.com. She's got a Tumble log. She posted an animated GIF. Yeah. I'm going to say GIF.
Yeah. That's how I say it.
Yeah, I think it's the right way despite the...
What does the creator know?
He just wrote the code.
Yeah.
He didn't... He's not an Englishian.
Yeah.
Englishmatician.
Yeah.
So there.
She seems like a keep calm and carry on type of a guy.
I loved it. What did it say? It said, at first it said Flickr acquires... No, Yahoo acquires Tumblr, and then it had like a, go crazy, blah, 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 and then it said, keep calm and carry on. I thought that was really a great animated GIF. I liked it.
If only you didn't see those around every corner for the last
I'm sick of
years.
Keep calm and carry on, but you know what, Marissa?
I know.
She's an old person. There it is. She's an old person. You can't expect her to kind of, yeah, see that? Now panic and freak out. Now keep calm and carry on.
I kind of like that.
I thought... She's a CE freaking O.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool thing for a CEO to do. And for her to have a Tumblr. Now, whether she does it or not herself, I don't know.
It's so Tumblr because Tumblr is all about animated GIFs.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, that is...
Isn't this great? That's on her Tumblr.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if she probably has a team that's doing this, right? But some of the stuff that's on there is very personal and is clearly written in her voice. It's not written by a PR professional. I can tell. So I think she might have something to do with it.
I hope so. So
she's a real geek.
Geek.
Yeah, that's how good. You pronounce geek.
Yeah, a geek. Girl geek. Geek.
Geek.
Geek. A couple people in chat are reminding us that Evernote actually came out with a new feature called Reminders.
Yeah.
It's a feature across... everything.
My only concern with this is that Evernote is adding so many features that it's getting very complicated.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like an OmniFocus type of a thing.
Yeah, and you got to be careful.
Because
we got Google Keep now, which is cross-platform, is stored on Google Drive, and it's very straightforward and simple. And I'm worried that Evernote, which is like one of my all-time favorite apps, if it gets too complicated, I'm not going to be able to use it anymore, and I think people will get scared away by it. So how do the reminders work? Because I haven't played with it yet.
Well, you know, Leo, that's a good question, because I'm trying to figure it out myself. I'm looking at, you know, my former notes here, mm-hmm. and, oops, sorry, I sometimes swear in Evernote. And note from iPad.
Why would you swear in Evernote?
Well, because...
You like storing good swear words for future reference?
Yeah, sometimes I just come up with a real zinger of a cuss.
From now on.
And I have to remind myself. but I feel like this should... I just updated. I feel like it should be pretty clear how I remind myself about a note.
Let me see if
I've
I can
figure it out.
I've
created a note here.
Gosh, I love
got,
that.
I've got what notebook I want it updated and created. So it's all the information... Yeah, I'm not sure, Leo. I'm not sure. I don't know if this has to be a note that's created... somewhere else. Hmm. Because I do believe that the reminders are initiated on Evernote for your desktop.
Well, and the advantage of reminders is that Evernote is everywhere. So when you have put a note on your iPad, it will also go to your desktop, your iPhone, your
exactly.
Android phone, everything. And so that's actually a good way to do reminders. If imagine... Is there a way to set a reminder that's global like that?
Well, on reminders for iOS.
Does it go to the desktop?
Yes.
It does? Okay.
Yeah, if you use it that way.
You have to be in the Apple world. You have to be Mac and iPhone.
Yeah, it's cross-platform obviously doesn't work with anything, you know, if you're just going through
I see it.
iOS and OS X.
I see a little alarm at the bottom.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it says reminder added, notify me.
See, look, we got a little reminder added, notify me. Neat.
And you can set a time.
Cool. And then you set a time. See, this is perfect because I think that there are two ways that people have used Evernote historically, right? Some people use it for, you know, scrapbooking and I want to gather a bunch of stuff. This is my little collection all over the net.
I put my passwords in it.
Yeah.
Research notes.
But then other people kind of use it for like a getting things done type
of thing.
It's
a good to-do list too, yeah.
Yeah. So this actually, if you have functionality to all of your scrapbooky stuff, because some of it might require you to remember 5 days from now, not only am I saving this, but I need to like take an action on it. Reminders is perfect.
Yeah.
So that's great. And of course, Evernote is free to use these features.
So. I love Evernote. I use it like crazy. Well, I really do.
I love any company. See, that's so nice. So I've got a little reminder for myself.
So do you use it like a to-do list? I don't use it like a to-do list, but I could see that, for instance...
I never have.
You might...
So cool.
I'm trying to think of a scenario.
Look, you can mark as done. This is very mailboxy of them.
I know you're okay. Copying an article about a TV show and you want to remember to watch it. You could put a reminder in that says, "Oh, don't forget to watch this."
Yeah,
something like that.
Anything.
Yeah.
Some people live inside Evernote. Absolutely, it is the one place for everything. Yeah. So now you've got reminders,
right.
So that you can kind of calendarize it. I wanted to add Airbnb into this discussion, Leo.
Now, how are they changing?
Well. There was a court case that just went down in New York City where a guy rented through Airbnb his condo out to a woman for like 3 days. And he's not actually the owner of the condo. He's merely the tenant. And somehow, I'm not exactly sure, but the housing authority in New York City got wind of this. Basically said, you can't do this because there's a law in New York that was passed in 2011 that says you cannot mimic a hotel. So if a guest is staying in your place of residence for less than 30 days, you're mimicking a hotel. We have to regulate you. You can't do that.
Oh, that's terrible. So that's going to put Airbnb out of business.
Well, we're not sure, but it certainly sets a bad precedent.
Remember,
for anybody
Uber
who likes Airbnb.
Has had the same exact problems. This really is annoying. What this is the entrenched industries, in this case the hotel industry, in the case of Uber the taxi industry, saying, hey, elected officials, you got to protect our incumbency here and make sure that these new internet upstarts do not take our business.
Right.
And so they get laws passed, and then they go back and they say, okay, now you got to enforce this. It's been troublesome for Uber gets sued a lot, and oh my goodness, I can't believe this is depressing.
The guy ended up owing about $2,400.
Is it hotel taxes?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not exactly sure how they came up with that number. It was initially higher, and a judge basically reduced the fee that he had to pay.
I can't think of any good reason. The only reason I could think why the state or the city would have any interest in this is because it wasn't collecting hotel taxes.
Well, there's that.
But I could see
There's apparently part of the housing board includes, you know, the environmental board.
Is it safety? They're saying it's safety.
Well, they're saying, listen, if you're some sort of a slumlord and you're basically telling people, oh yeah, you can stay here, it's clean and whatever, and yeah, there's no
but
regulation.
This happens, and Airbnb has a good recourse around this. I think Airbnb is this is a fair market way of doing it, and it makes a lot of sense. And it really disheartens me because what it means is internet innovation is slowed because the incumbents, the guys who have an existing business around this, however useless or overpriced it is for those of us who want to visit New York, can use the law to enforce this. So how is Airbnb going to change?
Well, I'm not sure, Leo. You know, this is actually very topical for me because I'm going to be in New York for a few days soon. And I had found a friend of mine. I didn't even realize she was using Airbnb. But I found her loft on Airbnb and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. I love your cute little loft. I want to stay there. You know, this isn't it. I'm just, you know, but this is how Airbnb works. Hey, $85 per night.
Well, and you've used this in Paris. I wish I had thought to use it in New Orleans. We spent a ridiculous amount on a hotel during the Super
and
Bowl.
And
we
could have. You get a nice kitchen and everything.
Yeah.
Then I heard about this story and I said, because she lives in New York, and I said, well, maybe you and I should take this off, you know, in our our little private channel, because I don't want you to get in trouble with the law. And I really
how are they going to prosecute this? That's the other thing.
Well, it's
going to be difficult to find,
right? It's somewhat unclear how this guy got targeted in the first place.
It reminds me as if newspapers decided that Craigslist was hurting their classified business, which it has. It's almost put them out of business. And somehow found a law that said, you can only do classified advertising in a registered newspaper, a vehicle of some kind of newsprint, and puts Craigslist out of business.
Yeah.
These internet inventions like Airbnb and Uber and Craigslist are great for consumers. Let's face it, they're great for consumers. Maybe they're not so great for a business that's been around for a while and has to rethink how they do business, and they don't want to go to that effort. Sorry, that's called the internet. This is the future.
Well, but the problem is that someone, you know, like the judge who presided over this case looks at it and says, well, that is the law, whether or not they believe it. I mean, laws have to change. It's not so much what's best for the consumer.
Judges have some leeway. I disagree. You know, it is that's why we have, you know, a executive, a legislative, and a judicial branch. It's not like the judges have to enforce it exactly. They have some leeway. And a judge could be intelligent here and say, you know what, this is for the good of the consumer. I don't think safety is an issue. I think that's a red herring. You know, there's a safety is an issue if you go to anywhere. There's safety issues at hotels.
Right.
I think the free market works very well. Airbnb, I think, has a very good system. Initially, there were some issues.
Yes.
More like people who were staying in your place robbing you blind. Mm-hmm. Than people having dumpy places and misrepresenting
them. And even those are exceptional cases.
They're very unusual.
Yeah.
One
thing that is not good for Airbnb is that Airbnb, the tenant in question who ended up having to pay this money, got a hold of them, and they had a lawyer not representing him in court, but basically speaking on his behalf. Like, here, listen, this is why we also agree that this guy should not owe $2,400. And that didn't help.
Here's what Tali in the chat room said, and I think, Tali, you got it. You nailed it. The judge could say, hey, the Constitution says you own the property, you have property rights. Actually, in this case, he didn't. And maybe that's why they couldn't use this as a defense, because he was a tenant, not the owner. But if it was the owner, hey, you got property rights. No law can overturn the rights you have over your own property and how you dispose of it, mm-hmm. as long as it isn't, you know, dangerous to the general public and things like that.
Well,
I think there's ways for a judge to say, hey, wait a minute, this law is not right.
Yeah. And it's probably, you know, I don't know how the landlord feels about all of this, but it's like that gets into a whole nother issue. I mean, if I wanted to rent out my apartment right now while I go out of town,
subletting in effect.
That's subletting. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not allowed to via the lease.
Your lease may prevent it. Yeah.
And it's a big problem for landlords in San Francisco.
Sure.
Landlords, I have friends who will list the apartments on Airbnb and their landlords are going through the apartments regularly. And when they find their own,
they get mad.
They say, we're evicting you if you do this.
Wow.
So it's. It's
that I can understand, but that's
tricky.
That's completely different.
That's a totally different issue.
That's the owner of the property saying, I don't want it to be used that way. And I think that's the right of the owner of the property.
Something like Airbnb is a great service. I mean, I use it all the time and it has a lot of pushback, so we'll see.
And you can make the same arguments, exactly the same arguments with Uber and the taxi cab commissions are. They're saying, no, we want to regulate who can drive a car.
It's about safety. Nobody in a New York taxi cab is safe.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's not about safety. It's about protecting the rights of the incumbents in a business. And you see it all the time. And it's the internet is changing everything. And that's good. And it makes me sad. But anyway, that's the life. That's the way it is.
Well, the times they are changing.
The times they are changing thanks to the internet. And that app probably is going to have to start saying things like, no, to New York City lenders.
Which
renters.
Is crazy.
Or I like
the best markets.
I like your idea. Take this offline, boys and girls.
Yeah. Well, I could do that.
We join you together.
I could do that with a friend of mine. I don't know how comfortable I'd feel doing that with a rando.
Right. Well, that's what Airbnb does, is they kind of indemnify you. And
you're going through, a service that they kind of have your back if there's insurance issues or whatever. You know what else might be a changing is who do you want to use for your voice search assistant? Is it Siri or is it
Google?
Google's
I love
voice search,
Google.
Which apparently is coming soon to Chrome for iOS.
Yeah, it's on Chrome right now on the desktop.
Yeah.
And it's really good. Much better than Siri.
So, I mean, do you think Apple would possibly try to keep this thing from getting pushed through? Remember how we all thought, oh, Google Maps is being held back. YouTube's being held back as a standalone Google product. Because Siri is not strong enough right now for people to say, voice search in Google, who needs it?
I feel like
people really do want it.
This is the problem that started right at the beginning when Apple said, we're not going to allow applications that duplicate things we already do on the iPhone. And they obviously, you know, initially they didn't allow third-party browsers. They've obviously caved in many ways. As they should. You know, it might be reasonable when you first start a platform to say, no, no, if you're going to develop for it, let's do something innovative. We've already got ebooks covered or browsing covered. Do something new. But as the platform matures, I think it's probably appropriate to lighten up on those restrictions and say, yeah, we'll let other stuff on, and which Apple has done. So maybe they'll let the voice search in. The problem is it's never going to be as easy to use as Siri, because Siri's integrated right into the operating system and pressing that button.
Yeah.
And Google, you have to launch Chrome.
You have to
tap a microphone in Chrome.
Maybe, what about the people who don't have Siri on older iPads?
They could use some sort of
little robot assistant.
That's the argument. It's not on all iPads. It's only on the most recent.
Exactly. And I think that it makes all iPads, and Apple knows this, even if it's a competitor, it's like, if it makes your iPad more powerful and gets you to where you need to go.
Actually, I know they'll allow
more
it
more easily. Then what's the problem?
People, I know they'll allow it because it's in the Google search app already. So of course they have to allow it in Chrome.
Oh,
it's in the Google search app.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So they have to allow it.
Oh.
And the fact they've in effect said we're going to allow it because we didn't stop it in the Google search app.
Right. Apple just don't care anymore.
It's in Chrome 27 on the desktop, which is the latest version of Chrome, came out yesterday. So presumably there'll be an update. Yeah, it's great.
You love it?
Love it.
Well,
you can even, I think it's
better than Foursquare's super simplified search, whatever it was called.
Control Shift Dot, I think, or something like that, will launch it without you touching the microphone.
Oh, nice.
If you just want to do it from the keyboard.
What if you just say, okay, Chrome?
Soon.
Okay, Chrome.
Okay, Chrome. Okay, Google.
Okay.
Okay, Google.
Old sport. What I want to say after watching Gatsby.
Sport.
Okay, old sport.
Sport. Did they, in the new Gatsby, does he say sport?
He says old sport every third word.
It's
very annoying.
It's in Gatsby,
it's
too.
It's not even, it sucks.
It's a little annoying.
It's really, anyway. Well, you know what? I guess you know how I feel about the movie.
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
F him. Gosh.
F him.
F that guy. Anyway, for the links to all the apps that we just mentioned, we mentioned quite a few apps. Some have already changed. Some are changing in the future. You might get a little bit confused. Don't worry. We put all the links in our show notes at twit.tv/IPT. You know where that is. It's a fun place where you can watch old shows and make sure that you can easily get some of the story links, share with a friend, stuff that we've talked about in the past. You can subscribe to the shows there as well. Sometimes you look at a blue screen for long periods of time because it's soothing.
It's very relaxing.
It is.
That's my color.
Yeah.
It's the color I chose. It's called Twit Blue.
Twit Blue.
Pantone 3874.
Somewhere between cerulean and...
It's unique.
And
it doesn't occur
sky.
In nature, actually.
No, not at all.
Never.
Sometimes... Anyway, I did... No. I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. And thanks to everybody.
If you hold your breath long enough, you might turn that color. See, that Twit Blue.
My lips have turned sort of a blue before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're really cold?
Yeah, like when I was unconscious.
Your lips turn blue?
Yeah, sometimes.
I'd be scared.
People aren't breathing. It's not just
you
me.
You weren't breathing?
In the past.
When did that happen? Oh, my God. Well, are you okay now?
I'm fine, yes.
Oh, my God. I'm scared. I'm terrified. I'm horrified. Her lips were blue, ladies and gentlemen.
Blue lips.
Do I look a little green to you right now?
Sure do.
I'm green with envy.
Why?
Because many people have the Slingbox 500 and are using it to go anywhere they want and watch TV anywhere they want on their iPad.
That's such a cool
box. It's turning me green with envy.
Wow. You really are looking... Man.
But you need not envy these people who own their Slingbox 500s, because you can get it today at Amazon, at Best Buy, or you can find out more at sling.com/twit, slingbox.com/twit. The Slingbox is the coolest way to get your home entertainment system onto the internet. You see, this is the new Slingbox 500, which has HDMI, has Wi-Fi built in. It's 1080p. You just hook up all of your satellite box, or your cable box, your DVR, your DVD player. You hook that up to the internet, and bada bing, bada boom, password protection access. You get the Sling apps on your device, your iPad, your iPhone, your Android device, your laptop, whatever you got. And then it even has the remote from your dish or your DirecTV or your cable box right on the screen. You can program DVR. You can watch DVR. So, if you record a Game of Thrones and you're on the road and you say, oh, I really want to see it all, No problem. Just fire up the iPad, the Slingbox, and you can watch it today. I love it, and I want you to try it. First of all, find out more at slingbox.com/twit. It's great for sports. I think they emphasize sports, but, you know, anything, anytime you want to be able to watch what's on your home system away from home, or even, you know, just downstairs, it turns your iPad into a personal television set. Slingbox.com/twit or visit Best Buy or Amazon. Never miss a show you want to watch in high def with Slingbox.
How many guys, I was going to say guys, but this would appeal to both genders, do you think ends up like quietly watching their little Sling app in their car
common.
In the driveway because they're like,
yeah.
I can't go back in there.
Yeah.
Those people are crazy.
They're crazy. I'm going to watch TV in my car.
It's like, I'm going to go out for ice cream.
You know,
and
that's
you just
exactly
like,
how I use it. How did you know?
I just had a hunch.
You drove by my house. You saw me sitting here like this.
Oh, yeah. I
watching.
Know how you like to escape. Going out for ice cream.
Yeah. He
oh,
went
I
out for a pint of ice cream and never came back.
Never came back. He took that app with him, though.
He brought only one thing, his iPad. That I would probably be the case, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. I just
did you see
a cynical view of the world. What?
Chubb666 on the internet.
Oh, no. Definitely have not seen that.
Made me a printout of my tapped out world. My whole world.
Oh,
and I am going to get a 30-foot vinyl poster of it.
And where are you going to put that poster?
On the side of the Twit Brick House.
On the outside?
Well, there's nowhere on the inside I could fit it.
Yeah, I guess not.
I'm going to get, actually, the, my friend who does wrappers up in BC, they make those great vinyl wrappers for laptops and you know, iPads and stuff. I'm going to get him to make me a wrapper with my Simpsons
like
tapped Jelliskins? Out time.
Yeah. So you're talking about?
No, it's not Jelliskins. It's called Wrappers. W-R-A-P-P-R-Z. No
okay.
E. And it's going to go
idea.
Right on my MacBook Retina.
Well, that's insane. You should put it on the ceiling at your home. So then you can just sort of like lay on the couch and
I
be
could
like,
lie
oh,
and admire it.
My beautiful tapped out world that I made.
Those are thousands
that's
of donuts
Simpsons
in action.
Game he's always playing, by the way. That's what we're talking about.
Well, I've been thinking about how I could do screenshots of it one by one. And I was smart. See, I'm smart.
Yeah.
And I mentioned it. And like an hour later, this guy is so nice of him. He says, here, I got it for you.
Hey, Leo, did you know that the WWDC keynote has been scheduled? It will be
Monday. Yeah, it's
Monday,
bad timing. I'm so
Monday, June 10th.
Peeved.
What's bad timing about it?
It's exactly the same time as Microsoft's doing its Xbox announcement at E3. How are we going to cover that? We're going to do a dual screen. This half will be Apple. This half will be Microsoft.
You know, we're going to have to think about that.
Yes,
we
are.
We are going to have to think about that. Because we
like committed
doing
to
live events.
We have literally committed to covering both.
Well,
I think we're going to have to do either dual streams or
we can't do a split screen.
Split
that's
screen.
Horrible. That's what? I mean, you can't have dual audio. What are we going to do? Can I do the Apple one?
Yeah, I won't make you do the Xbox one.
Well, I don't care. It's just going to be like I don't know how I
what
can
do you think
vote.
We're going to see at WWDC? Will they announce a new iPad? No.
I think they will.
You do?
Yes. I don't know that they will.
I like it.
But I think that they will.
Okay.
I think that they'll have...
I'm going with you, Lane.
I think that they'll have an updated version of the iPad Mini.
Retina?
I don't know about that.
Well, what would they update if it's not Retina?
Well, the internals. Make it a little snappier. They did that for the iPad 4. New iPad.
You're right. The 3 to 4 was just faster. That's all.
You know? Just like, hey, we're just going to give you a little something.
I want Retina.
But we really do need a new, you know, the iPad 5, whatever it's going to be called. I don't know, Leo. Mm. I don't know. I want... You know what?
iPhone? June is traditionally... You know, that's when the iPhone was originally announced.
Nah, I think they're off on that schedule, though.
Yeah, and they changed it back down to September.
Yeah.
September. You know what I know we'll see is iOS 7.
We'll see iOS 7, that's for sure.
And we'll probably see the first look at the next OS 10 for Macintosh.
Correct.
Which I'm not sure what they're going to call it.
We're possibly going to see some sort of wearable technology like an iWatch.
You could call it OS 10 Cat Beard.
We can always just throw out the... You don't like it when I do this anymore. The whole, like, maybe there's going to be a real Apple TV.
No, there's not. There's never going to be. Forget it. Give it up.
What about iRadio?
No watch. Ah, they might announce iRadio. They kind of blew it because Google stole a march on them. The Google Live All Access, that is really the radio. But the story goes, and of course this is all rumor because Apple doesn't say, it's Sony that's giving Apple a hard time, and the negotiation is going back and forth on this idea of skipping. And on the radio, because on Pandora you can only skip 6 times, right?
Per session,
per day, I think, per 24-hour day. Yeah,
okay.
There's two limits, and it's not set by. By the way, the amount Pandora pays to the music industry is not something Pandora negotiated with the industry.
No, it's royalties.
It's the copyright law, and that's where the skipping comes from as well. But apparently Apple's going to do a side deal, as I believe Google has done with the record companies. And once they can get that deal down with Sony, there's nothing to hold them up on iRadio. I guess it's about money I don't know. I think that if Apple does an iRadio, it will be better than the Google Access just because it'll be better integrated into Apple's stuff.
I feel like the only way that Apple will not shelve this is if they somehow have a leg up. You know what I mean? Because Apple...
You mean they might just give up?
Well, not give
up. Say, we give it to you, Google, we don't care.
No, not give up, but say, we'll hold off until the fall, until we have relationships in place that make all of these other streaming, cloud services look pale in comparison. That's how I would think Apple would
approach
something like this.
They ought to. They need to do that, right? They can't be, we've seen it all before. It's just Apple's version of RDO or Mog or Spotify or Google All Access. So you're right. They should do something that's going to be unique. What do you think it might be? What could they do that would be different?
iRadio? I don't know.
Well, every one of those has radio.
Yeah, but...
It's called an artist-based
radio.
So in the Google All Access, you're listening to the Postal Service, and you say, make a radio station, and it'll play some Postal Service and other related artists.
But there's certain genre stations that, like, Pandora does pretty well. I've got my hip-hop station, but
I got
then
an
you've
idea.
Got...
What about curated?
What do you mean curated?
Human-curated stations. Like radio. You know, where you got a DJ?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Mr. DJ, play a song for me. And it could be, you're going to hear Dr. Dre's, you're going to hear Dr. Dre's iRadio or Sarah Lane's iRadio.
I like that. You can kind, well, no.
You could do that with RDO with your friends, right?
Yeah, you could. It would be interesting if Apple could just be pulling from my listening habits and curating a station for
they know,
whoever wants to tune
this
in.
This is where Google has an advantage because they know a lot about you.
I don't think anybody would want to listen to my station. I listen to some weird stuff.
Actually, both Apple and Google have the same advantage over Spotify and RDO, which is they know your music collection. They don't just know what you listen to streaming. They know what you own.
Yes.
iTunes, all the iTunes music, all the music in your iTunes. Google has that because all the Google music you've uploaded. Mm-hmm. And they use that. And and I think that could be something Apple could do. Say, hey, based on everything you own, the problem with recommendation engines are terrible, aren't they? They just don't do a good job.
Not all the time. I got some Modest Mouse in my hip hop station the other day.
I hate it when that happens.
What in the
But that happens with Pandora a lot to me now.
It doesn't happen with Pandora a lot to me, but when it does, it's way off.
You get the Beatles just randomly in Pandora.
It's like, what? That's insanity.
The Beatles are cross genre.
You know what is a new and interesting little iOS 7 rumor? I read this on 9to5 Mac yesterday, 2 days ago, that Flickr and Vimeo might get iOS integration a la Twitter and Facebook.
They'll be the sheets, the same kind of sheets that Twitter and Facebook have.
Yeah, so the idea would be you could log into Flickr, say, and anytime you take a photo and you access it from your camera roll, you have the opportunity to go ahead and send it to Flickr, which
is huge.
Great for Yahoo.
Huge for Flickr, huge for Vimeo, less huge for users, let's face it. I don't think that this is a feature that... finally! I can upload to Flickr directly. I don't think this is a feature that users are going crazy about. And I hate to do this to you, but I hate to point this out. But this is an example of where Apple really is behind Android, because on Android, when you install Flickr, it adds Flickr to your share sheets.
Uh-huh.
As soon as you install any app, when I take a picture on my Android device, Path shows up in the notification saying you want to share this to Path. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is easy for any app to do in Android, but Apple controls it so tightly on the iOS side that only Apple could decide. So now they've got four, whereas I can share it to dozens of places on my Android device.
Well, I mean, apart from the fact that I've got my Twitter credentials all handy-dandy, and so anytime I need to use something that works with Twitter, it's fine.
Do you use it? Do you share via the share sheets to Twitter and Facebook ever?
It comes up every once in a while, but honestly, most of the time I'm within apps that have their own relationships
right.
with these
and that's kind of my point.
Networks.
That's kind of my point. That's why I don't think it's a big deal for users.
Right.
It's a big deal for Flickr and Vimeo because it's an affirmation. Yes, you're right up there with Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
Right. Well, I think the whole of like Vimeo is we're not going to, you know.
I love Vimeo.
Let's make it easier to
I share
to
move
Vimeo
us...
and not YouTube.
Yeah, I want to move everything off of YouTube to Vimeo. I would if I could.
Why can't you?
Somebody won't let me.
I see. Well, that's a good answer.
I'll tell you why I don't. And it's frustrating to be on YouTube because we get pulled down fairly frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And why I don't is because that's where all the community is and that's where all the eyeballs are. But Vimeo, we wouldn't have... I don't think we'd have the takedown issues that we have right now. We're talking to them right now about setting up a Twit Vimeo channel that would, you know, not have a takedown problem. They have higher quality audio and video on Vimeo. I like it. It's just that it's not a... That's why, in a way, for me, this is good news. Because if it raises Vimeo's profile with iPhone and iPad users, that's good if we want to put stuff on Vimeo. I like Vimeo a lot. It's just that everybody's on YouTube. That's where everybody lives, right?
You know who else has a little bit of a problem with iOS?
Ooh.
Senator John McCain.
Okay, people made fun of him, but I kind of agree with him.
He says...
Because I'm an old guy.
This is the, you know, the hearing.
So Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, comes to Congress to talk to Congress about Apple's tax problem.
And how they're not actually evading anything that's illegal.
They're doing everything they're doing is
legal,
even if it might be a little like, come on, guys, really? $30 billion in a company that has zero employees?
And he says, look at our books. We're not breaking
it's all legal.
Any law.
However... At the end, McCain says,
what I really wanted to ask was why the hell I have to keep updating the apps on my iPhone all the time, and why don't you fix that? Tim Cook says, sir, we're trying to make them better all the time.
Listen.
So I would not preside over that.
No, it's much later.
I don't see it in that way.
I thank you. I'm out of time. What I really wanted to ask is why the hell I have to keep updating the apps on my iPhone all the time and why you don't fix that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sir, we're trying to make him better all the time.
So Tim Cook misunderstands him, as did, I think, the press. I think John McCain was saying the right thing. He was saying, you know, every time there's an update, and there's an update every day, is there not? I have to open the store and press the update all button.
Yes.
Whereas on Android, they just update automatically. If you let them. Now, some people say, well, I don't want everything to update automatically because sometimes features are removed.
But you can.
But you can have a checkbox and it will do that. And I am updated all the time. You want apps to update a lot because there's security fixes and there's, you know, bug fixes and there's perhaps new features. So normally you always do want it to update. So why does Apple make me go every time? And it's a real pain in the in fact, you also often have to enter your password. I mean, it's really a pain in the tuchus.
I like to read the developer notes, but that's because
you what
I do.
Oh, you? Oh, I know. I sometimes do that. What's new? What am I getting?
Because we do a show about iPad apps, so I like to know why people do the things that they do. So I read all the developer notes. So I wouldn't want the update to happen automatically. 95% of the people out there.
Ridiculous for him to bring this up at a Senate hearing. And on that score, I think it is kind of silly. But I don't disagree with him. Why can't it just be automatic, Apple? Really, Tim? And Tim intentionally made it be that McCain was saying, how come the apps are updating all the time? I don't think that's what he was asking. And we want to make them better.
Why do I keep getting that red little
why do I have to go there all the time?
Above the App Store?
I think he was right.
Stop it. Stop doing that.
I think he was right.
Well,
and you know what Bob McBob is saying in the chat room is also true. He said, I used my wife's iPhone the other day and she had 56 updates because she hadn't done updates. 56 is nothing. I see sometimes on some of my family members hundreds of undone updates.
Sometimes on i5, people in chat room will say, Sarah, look at all the app updates.
So
it's
you
like,
too.
I haven't gotten there yet. Yeah. I'm talking about new apps.
I like the automatic update on Android. I use it.
So you like your Logitech wireless little keypad?
Love it. For the thin, ultra thin.
Yeah,
for the iPad.
Smart. What is it?
iPad case, ultra thin iPad keyboard case, something like that.
Yeah. Logitech has released a new $60 wired iPad keyboard built for classrooms.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea too. So this is supposed to be
bang on it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be spill resistant. There's a 3-year warranty. They say there's a key life of over 5 million strokes. So it's for kids who are not going to treat it with care.
You got to wonder why Apple never did this.
I know.
Because they want iPads to be used in the classroom.
Yeah, they're so school-centric. Maybe it's because Apple doesn't like the idea of something sort of cheapy that's spill-resistant.
Yeah. It is kind of cheesy, isn't it? Yeah.
But it's like for a classroom. For a classroom, it's not really very cheap. But if you've got the whole, and I know some schools have all iPads in classrooms because the teachers and staff write us about it, but it's kind of neat. So if you haven't heard of this yet, we'll have our link in the show notes as well. Again, that's from Logitech.
I don't know if this is true, but a number of people in the chat room said that iOS 7 will have an optional auto update feature. So,
really?
That's what Tim Cook should have said. Stay tuned, Senator.
He should have, but the fact that he didn't makes me wonder
if it's going
to
do that.
Yeah, he probably is like, this is really not the place to start.
Yeah, I don't want to really get in this discussion.
Rumors.
He
yeah.
did the right answer. That was the CEO answer, because we're trying to make things better all the time.
We want you to be happy, Mr. Yes. McCain. Shazam has updated its app with a feature
TV.
Well, not just that.
Yeah.
Not just that, Leo.
What else? Because now I can be watching. This happens to me all the time. I'm watching a TV show saying, what's that? Or an ad on TV. Is it? What's that song?
What's that song?
Can Shazam the song on the TV.
Not only that, but
or the show, I presume.
If you so choose, I have it turned off by default. But if I would like to have Shazam auto-tag everything that it can pick up.
Awesome. Oh, I'm going to turn that on.
I could do that as well.
Then I'll always know what that silly song is that Sarah Lane's
listening
to.
Now, some of you might say, what? That's because Shazam is listening to your conversation.
No, wait. Who cares?
But it's not. This is all about, ID. It's not actually listening to you and me talking.
Maybe they are collating a database of what people listen to.
Well, yeah. They're collating a database of what people listen to. But if they're listening, if Shazam is actually trying to auto tag something right now, this is not a show that exists in Shazam's database.
Right.
So it's not really about their listening.
So you're just going to throw that out.
I don't have to be so proactive about tagging stuff.
Right.
And of course, this helps Shazam get a huge database. But I kind of love this.
Do you like Shazam or SoundHound better? Which one should I install? I don't have either.
I actually have found that SoundHound has a better
accurate
ID.
Yeah. We did this on the show.
We did, yeah. We did a little testing.
But I love the idea. It's always listening, and I'll just have a list of all the music that I heard as I was walking around. I think that's cool.
It's kind of cool, yeah.
I love that. And I don't care if it's listening. Who cares?
Well, some people care. I don't tend to care either. I'm sort of like, whatever. I like this. I think this is a great feature. Also, when you've got the auto-tagging on, it's almost like when you're on a phone call with your iPhone, you've got this red line up at the top. So it's pretty clear. It shouldn't be like,
I didn't know
that auto tag was on. And you've got this nice little toggle on and off right up here at the top. But that's new. That's completely new as of today.
This is going to be a conversation we're going to be having a lot over the next few years. With Google's new voice search, you're going to be able, not yet, but soon, to be able to say with your browser open, okay, Google, and do something for me. You can do that now with Android phones, as presumably at some point Siri will do that. And I think people go, oh, that means it's listening. The microphone's always open all the time. And this is going to be a conversation we're going to have a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about that.
I can't be, or I never use tech.
Lizard's always listening to us. I see her right there listening to us right now. That's just the way it is.
People listen to others.
She's always listening.
It's a world of eavesdropping.
And if you don't like it, turn it off.
Right.
But don't make it for the rest of us that we can't use it, because I don't mind.
It's an option.
It's a
fun option. That's in Shazam, which is a free app, of course.
It would probably be more useful unless you carry your iPad all the time on your iPhone.
Yeah, but, a lot of people, they're sitting around the living room with their iPads in hand. You know, I don't do a lot of watching TV holding my iPhone.
Right.
But I do have my iPad open on my lap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it will know, by the way, what TV show, not just the music on the TV show, but what TV show.
I know.
So, you know.
So that's how Shazam
Friends,
sort of wins
Friends, me. Friends, Friends, Game of Thrones. Friends, sure. Friends, just like that.
Yeah, the one where Joey
love
gets
that one.
The acting job. Love that one. So
actually,
good.
I do love that one. I know what you're talking about. I can't believe it.
Well, there are a few of those.
Yeah. Joey gets a lot of acting jobs.
Before he became, what, Dr. Drake Ramore on Days of Our Lives? That was like, he had a...
Oh, that was his fake job.
I know a lot about Friends.
You do know a lot.
I watched it. Hey, we got an email from Francis Jackson who says, I think I have a great idea for a future theme.
Yes.
Since Sarah's such a cat lover, how about apps for pets? Not just like... BuzzFeed cats with beards, that sort of thing. But like tracking health records, shots.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Weight, that sort of thing.
Like the vet recording app.
Francis says, I have two kitties and I have two lab puppies and I need a way to keep track of all their info. I got a lot of animals. If I had an app on my iPad, I could carry that to the vet with me. I could record the info while we were there, take notes for specific issues, medication, that kind of thing. And then I could track issues at home and have all the information to the vet when visiting. Now, she asks us, what's the best available app? I don't think we've done anything as far as, like, medical pet realm.
You know, and USC Waller has a really good question. Without opposable thumbs, how will the cats enter the data?
Ooh, that's a good
That's
question.
Another problem.
If it's a polydactyl cat, maybe.
Oh, because it has extra fingers?
Yeah. The six-fingered kitties.
Yeah, they could maybe...
If you've got one in your neighborhood, they can come over and translate some stuff.
It'd be imagine? Really great if they, if meow, there were, like, a barcode scanner at the vet, and you could just... And, like, it would do the whole thing for you. And...
Well,
that... Or maybe it could be like Shazam. It just listens for you to be at the vet.
Yeah,
and when it hears a cat going, meow!
Your cat's pissed. You must be at the vet. If anyone does know of any apps, do send them to us, because, honestly... I don't. I feel like I should know this, and I don't. So that could be a future theme. But thank you for the suggestion, Francis. It's always nice to know what you all want out there. We are getting.
You know, there's a .cat domain name.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Like SarahLynn.cat?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm.
Why do I not have that?
You should. There's meow.cat. It's Catalan. It's from the.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we, the reason it came up, we were talking on security now. There was a website with .cat. I can't remember what it was, but
oh my gosh, that's the
Sarah.cat.
It could
Sarah almost
.cat is probably taken.
No, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot because nobody's using it yet. It's brand new.
So
this could almost complete your transition to the full cat lady mode that we expect at any time.
I'm in. I'm 100% in. I'm not kidding.
Hep.cat.
That's all I want to do.
Wouldn't
really.
That be good?
This whole tech thing doesn't work out. I'm actually...
Why don't you do a kitty cat show on the network?
Because I don't...
Sarah's Kitties.
Because I don't think anybody would want to...
Oh, are you kidding? What is the number one channel on Ustream of all time? The Sheena Ibu Poopies.
Puppies. Yeah.
That too.
But the kittens are good too.
Kittens are very popular. Number
well, you
one.
Know, I'm going down to the SPCA on Saturday. I'm
Buy
taking
more
a training
cats.
Class. So while I'm there, I'm going to see what they have going on there because they're not really all that tech-centric.
Maybe I love it. I love it. They might have an app.
Or maybe they have an app.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Hey, we got another email from Jonathan Wiley who sent us an email that is really good for people who want to be jealous because apparently at the Burj Al Arab, you know, it's like the only seven-star hotel in the world
in Dubai.
It's also
like the world's tallest building.
Apparently, as a guest, you can get an iPad encased in 24-karat gold.
Of course you can.
That's right.
Let's see.
So there's the hotel, and there's the iPad.
Oh, that's the Burj is the one that looks like a sailboat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's not the tallest building. It's the one that looks like a
sailboat. Well, it was the tallest building for a hot minute, right?
No, it's different. See that sailboat? That's out in the water.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I thought it was, but that's the sailboat. You see that?
Oh, so it's just the most decadent hotel in the world, not the tallest.
Sure is pretty.
Yeah, so if you go there and you probably have to pay a premium, you can have yourself a gold iPad. And I don't know what you do. You search for TV shows on Shazam.
That's what I'm just putting Shazam on my phone so that
on your gold
it
iPad.
Will now, in fact, it said it will also add to my Facebook timeline and to my Google Plus, everything adheres from now on.
Wonderful.
So get ready.
That is great. Google Plus is going to be a place that I would want to follow you.
Every show I watch, every song I hear, even if it's just at the barber shop, right up on my Google
Plus. To the candy shop. Hey, Leo's listening to 50 Cent.
50 Cent.
Reminder that we love hearing from all of you. Please do write us and call us and send us videos. iPadToday@twit.tv is our email address. 757-504-IPAD is our Google Voice number. And if you send us a video, don't send us the video. Upload it somewhere and send us the link so that we don't have to open attachments. Thank you in advance. I'm going to get my app cap on.
Don your cap. While you're donning your cap, I shall talk about GoToMyPC, which lets you access your office computer from your iPad, anywhere you can get online, or your iPhone or Android device, of course, or from any other computer. PC to Mac, Mac to PC, it doesn't matter. In fact, before you leave work today, why don't you install GoToMyPC on your office computer?
Don't choke.
I'm so excited about this. That was a glottal stop.
It's like you're getting.
You know why? I think I'm getting allergic to cats.
Oh, don't even start with me.
Go to my PC. Oh, you know what would be cool? Put Go to my PC on your office or your home computer. Go to the office and watch your cats type while you're at work.
Into it.
Could do that. Go to my PC actually lets you operate your computer remotely from any device. I mean, it's the weirdest thing to be on an iPad operating a Windows 8 machine, but you totally, totally can. And you do it securely, fastly, easily. You don't need IT support. Their NAT traversal means you don't have to punch a hole in the firewall and create security issues. It uses complete SSL, so it's completely secure. I want you to try it today. Access your computer anywhere you are. Go to mypc.com. You say there's kind of a theme to our advertisers this week because we know you're mobile. You're getting around. And this allows you to get back to your office, use your computer. Slingbox allowed you to get back to your home, watch your TV. I think this is, what a world. As you said, we live in amazing times.
What a world.
Try it free. 30 days before you leave the office today, go to mypc.com. Click the orange try it free button. Use our iPad offer code, IPAD. And 30 days free. The apps are absolutely free always, anytime. And then hit the road and have some fun. Go to mypc.com. It's from Citrix, so you know it's secure, it's fast, it's easy to use, it's really good. Okay, you're putting on a hat, so I'm going to put on a hat.
I got my hat on. Your hat looks nice and matchy-matchy with you. My hat
It
is
does.
Out
this
of
matches
control.
My outfit.
It does. You look awesome.
You want to trade?
You look...
We could trade.
Okay. Let's trade.
You can wear... This is a reversible, so you can do it in either way.
Dude.
Yeah, this one's not reversible, I'm afraid.
No, you just look ridiculous.
No, see, I look better in this than you.
You do. You look like
this
you're going hunting.
This way I won't get shot.
I looked just stupid. No, see, now I look very fetch. Right?
You look like a Russian mail order bride is what you look like.
Oh, God.
Hello, I'm new in your country.
I look like a Russian mail order bride that no one wants to order.
I would like to be in... I am here to learn English.
I thought it would look better, unfortunately. Look at us.
We're an attractive couple.
Two just crazy kids.
Ready for summer.
Having a good time.
We
are ready for summer.
Yeah, I do not want
bring
any.
Bring it on. Uh-huh. Hey, so this is the part of the show where Leo and I wear ridiculous hats and sweat profusely in an effort to crown our favorite two apps of the week.
Well, it's about time.
And I'm going to start with an app that this should be of no surprise to anybody because I've said how much I like it already, but it's finally iPad native, and that is Mailbox.
Yay!
We've talked in the past about some sort of, iPad email alternatives because Mailbox was really just an iPhone app and didn't work that well on the iPad. It is now iPad native. However,
it's nice.
And it's great. So I'm looking at an email here. I have three different Gmail accounts that I've signed up for with Mailbox, and it's important that it actually at this point only works with Gmail. But remember that Dropbox owns Mailbox now, so that'll change eventually. They've got the resources and the money.
I think that's why you're seeing an iPad app.
Exactly. And then this is sort of my settings here. I'm looking at an email. I say, okay, I want to read more about this. Two new iOS apps for Squarespace. That's fine and good. Okay, I've done that, and I've got my little nice toupee. But it works just like the iPhone app. So if I go swipe right, I archive. If you do swipe deep right, you delete. if you swipe left, it's, hey, I want to come back to this email.
Love that.
I want to do this some other time. And then it's like, when do you want to do it? You've got all sorts of options. Next week, this weekend, this evening, tomorrow. Pick a day of your choice. I say, no, never mind. I don't want to do that. I want to send it to one of my lists.
And you can make as many of these as you want.
iPhone, XX and Tech is this women's group I'm on. I can create a new list and say, sponsors, that sort of thing. It's very easy. And then the idea is that once you add it somewhere.
Are you at mailbox zero?
Well, no, because I was
inbox zero.
I'm at mailbox 39 right now.
Wow.
But that's because I haven't looked at some email in a couple of hours.
So, but you do routinely get to inbox zero?
Yes. No,
that's what this is designed to do.
We were talking about this on TNT, and our guest Rich DeMuro was like, it's not really achieving inbox zero. You're just
filing stuff away.
You're procrastinating, right?
You're putting it off.
But the thing is that if you force yourself to be disciplined and say, I cannot deal with this email right now, but I absolutely will deal with it tomorrow, then that's when you tell it to remind you again.
Right.
Get it out of your inbox. It will come back tomorrow. And at that point, you deal with it. You said that you would. You can't lie to yourself. You can't let yourself down anymore. You just do it. And with that, the flaps opened.
Did your head expand suddenly? Is that what happened?
I'm really into my whole thing. And of course, you can go ahead and compose messages. Some people say this is just Gmail. It's just a skin for Gmail.
Oh no, this is better though. I think.
But I think that it is the best.
Yeah,
it is. The best.
I really like it.
I don't even enjoy using Gmail on my laptop anymore if my phone is nearby, because I just easily get through my email using Mailbox. I say, archive, delete, deal with this later. I'm going to do this weekend. I got to get back to this on Sunday. Or I say, I have to deal with this right now. Email the person back. And with the iPad app and the iPhone app together, I'm still not going to want to use Gmail on my laptop, because I'm so used to it. Mm-hmm. I find it more efficient. And this is a free app. And you might remember that for the first 2 months that Mailbox as an iPhone app was live, there was a virtual queue.
Is that still?
If I
sign up, I can use it right now.
That's right. They've dropped the queue for iPhone. That got dropped 2-3 weeks ago.
I think that was a smart thing, don't you? It was like Gmail being in beta and you had to get an invite. Remember people were bidding for Gmail when it first came out?
The company, Mailbox, has said we could tell before the app was released because there was so much
interest. Viral.
People talking on social networks and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We could not handle the load.
Right.
So we created this artificial, you have to wait in line. They said they actually took it from the idea of waiting in line for an iPhone at the Apple store.
And you'd get on your screen. You'd install the app and you'd get on a screen. Well, you're number 342,000. There are 10,000 people behind you. And then you would slowly inch ahead in the line.
So you would never
I thought
like
it was kind of fun. Yeah, no, it was kind of fun. Yeah.
But the good news is that they...
Dropbox.
They've got Dropbox behind them.
They got
now,
some servers now.
There's no virtual queue for the iPad app. You can download it today.
Good.
And again...
How much is it?
It's free.
See, I feel really bad because my app cap a few weeks ago was MailPilot because it was on the iPad and Mailbox wasn't. It did very much the same thing, but it was like $20. So now I feel bad if you bought that.
But remember when I said they realized that they have an opportunity, a window of opportunity.
There was. It was a few weeks, but it was a window of opportunity.
Yeah.
I like MailPilot. It's very similar. Mm-hmm. It's a little more. There, you could do more. It has more tools, but it's the same idea. So if you already bought it, you're not.
It's a little more robust. And some people say that Mailbox is not robust enough for them. They want.
Does it only work with Gmail?
Yes.
Okay, that's another reason you might want to use MailPilot, because it works with any IMAP server.
Yes.
So that
and
makes,
that,
that's different.
Again, with Dropbox owning Mailbox, that'll change. It'll work with email addresses that you use with Google Apps as well.
So you're a big traveler.
My Twit address, for example. I want to take this off.
Your app address? You're a big traveler, so you might be interested in this. I just saw this, just came out today at 99 cents. It's called Map Camera.
Love it already.
Now I'm...
Love maps,
yeah,
I love cameras.
You can, it'll append a map. It's really kind of fun. It'll append a map to your cameras. And not only that, it'll do it with... Let's go out of here. No pick. Now I'm stuck. Oh, there we go. So it'll do it with your... existing pics, which I was doing, if they have geographic data.
Okay.
But it will also do it with a new picture. So I'm going to take a new picture here. And it's already figured out. It asks you when you first booted where you are. So it's already figured out where I am. And that is a really ugly picture.
Terrible.
Yeah. Well, let's take one here.
Okay.
I'm going to take one of you. What about that? So, because you got that great hat on. That's really cute. Now, it knows where we are. So it has already appended the address. Swipe from left to right to access album. So here's camera, which I was using. Here's album. These are pictures I've taken. And it appends the address, the date, and the time to that.
Wow, I look different.
Yeah. Well, you can see. And now we can also share it out, mail, Twitter, save it to the camera roll. I can append the map. Now watch this. This is kind of cool. So it says who the photographer was. It says where it was taken. It has an actual map. Google map on it. And it also has the EXIF information. And this is all there. And now I can save that out to the camera roll. I can remove the map. I can Instagram it. I can Twitter it. Or I can open it in another application like Path, for instance.
Yeah.
And put it in Path. So it's a very simple app for 99 cents. But I think it's really cool because if you travel and you take a lot of pictures, to have the location that you took the picture kind of burned into the picture is really fun. It also makes it kind of a neat thing if you want to share it. And adding the map, I think, is even more fun. So for 99 cents, it's a simple app, but I think it's just, I like this kind of thing. I have a number of apps that I use for Instagram that puts the weather in and stuff. This one, which I like, does not have an ad for the app. In the stuff that it puts on your
image. I was doing some research for some of the apps in the beginning of the show that we covered. In the Flickr app, I kind of got like down some rat hole of photos that I had been tagged in.
Yeah.
You know, and there were certain photos where I'm looking at them and I'm like, I mean, again, a lot of the stuff on Flickr for me is a few years old.
Where was
like,
I?
I don't know where that was. What restaurant is that? It's just nothing about that looks familiar. And so something like this would be really handy.
This is one
for
more
stuff
thing
where
that
you start forgetting.
Pro photo photographers might be interested in. I've never seen an app that let you do this, but this is all the information, the EXIF information that's saved with the picture. Not just a timestamp, but latitude, longitude, things like the aperture value, the shutter speed, and all of that stuff.
This is
traditionally in the EXIF, but normally you can't really see it. So I don't know. I just think this is kind of a cool little
way to take
pictures.
Good-looking lady,
you
know?
I'm going to post this.
I don't even know how you deal
right
with
now.
It.
On
with
Twitter.
That kind of greatness.
Yeah. And look, it put some Japanese in there, too. I don't know why it did that. Maybe this is a Japanese app. That's interesting.
Weird.
I'm just going to send it in and not worry about it. I think it's always good to have a little bit of
People
Japanese.
People love that on Twitter. No context.
That was
just
very
a link
odd.
With some kanji.
That was really. I wonder if I do the email, if it'll do that. Yeah. So maybe there's some setting I have to work on
maybe.
For there because, or maybe it's from a Japanese, I don't think it's from a Japanese company, but
I don't see it on Twitter either. Dun, dun, dun.
No, it's on a different account. My special Japanese tweet account.
Oh, well, good.
Links_4_twit.
Oh, links for twit. Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah.
So that's Map Camera, 99 cents.
It's
a seesaw app.
See, and it's got a little Japanese in it. I don't know why.
So
what happens if you click that? What's the Japanese link to?
Yeah, click it.
Oh, Japanese Twitter. What the hell? No. Would somebody who's from Japan tell me what that's saying?
I think the company must realize that they have a lot of, you know, maybe Japanese users. And so that's some sort of a hashtag that's because it's
a hashtag.
Basically creating a search.
It's a hashtag. Yeah.
So I don't know. Map camera. What are you going to do?
It says
you want mapped with the camera. You got to have some Japanese characters.
Somebody's already put in a Google Translate.
Matsubugusu. Yeah, that's
doesn't
seem like a very solid translation. Well, you know what? It's the world will never know. Oh, look, Matsubugusu.
Matsubugusu. What the
everyone?
Heck?
And with that, we are done with this episode of iPad Today, ending on a high note, as usual.
Thank you. Matsupapatsugu.
Thanks for watching, everyone. We will be back next week.
Unless I put Sarah in a wood chipper.
And if that happens, one of us will be here and the other one will be in little pieces in a playground.
Yeah, sure, you betcha.
Under a real seesaw. Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you next
week on iPad Today.
Oh!